quack, 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 quack,
Hello and welcome back to D5, the Mighty Ducks, the show where we look back at the 1994 Disney hockey sequel, D2, the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Blake, your host, and online. I have a friend of mine, have not talked to him, I think, since last season on this show, but a good old-fashioned wrestling friend, Kurt Hoffman. Kurt, how you doing?
Doing great, Blake. Thanks again for having me back on the sequel, D2, Judgment Day. Always glad to be back. Mighty Ducks series has been one of my personal favorites as a child growing up, watching all those movies. So glad to not just talk about it, but to go back, kind of go back in time, kind of time travel when I was a kid when stuff was really cool.
Yeah. Okay, I will ask you, because I've asked a lot of people this, because a lot of the guests so far have been around the same age range. Do you remember the hype for this movie when it came out? Because I'm trying to remember it, and I don't remember.
I think I do. was this around the time when that Mighty Ducks cartoon came out?
No, that Disney? Was D3. That was D3.
Oh, that was D3?
Yes, okay. That was after D3.
Okay, so maybe I'm confusing that with D3 then, but yeah. I don't know. I know
D3
I was
had a lot of hype. I remember D3 had so much hype, and D2 I just don't remember. But I remember seeing it in theaters, so it's weird. Like, this is a weird one for me.
Right. Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe some of my memories I've had has just been D3 the whole time, and D2, like, I know I've seen D2. I could definitely say that much. But
yeah.
Maybe it did get lost in the cracks.
Yeah. As I've always said, this is my favorite of the trilogy, like, by far. Maybe the fact that I'm in, like, Team USA pride, national pride thing, and why I love this movie so much. But, like, I've always said that, so.
All right. Yeah, you can't go wrong with the old Rocky versus Drago type storyline. You can't go wrong with that.
And it's scary. Last season, I had Aaron from Brandy's. He called Mighty Ducks the hockey version of Rocky. Last season.
It is Hockey Rocky.
That was one of my favorite, like, titles last season. Oh, it was Hockey Balboa. That was the name of that episode last season. One of my favorite idols the whole season last year.
That is brilliant.
So, anyway, let's get back to this movie. We pick up with Gordon in the limo and talking to our wonderful guy from Hendrix, Mr. Tibbles. And he's talking about coaches are now names, of course. And I love the line, coaches have images. Images mean dollars. I sell you. You sell the sport. We both get rich. That is the most lawyer speak I've ever heard.
Yeah. And coaches making money. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm thinking about some coaches and, you know, not much marketability behind most of those guys. So
I know.
I don't know.
What's funny about it, when, like, right before these minutes, I actually thought it was in these five, but it's not. It's in the previous. He brings up Pat Riley, Bear Bryant, and Mike Ditka, which all huge names. Okay, I've actually, like, the other famous coaches, the kind of two that came right to my mind when I thought of this.
Did they see Landry?
Okay.
You know, the hat. And,
of course.
Yeah. I guess nowadays, maybe Gruden.
Oh yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. any coach that's given a nickname, you know, John Gruden, he's at the top of that list.
Very true. See, I went with, like, Phil Jackson from the Bulls, which, of course, at the name everyone knows and is popular. But, of course, how can we have a hockey movie and not bring up Herb Brooks? Like, how did they miss that? Ow! I don't get it. I thought about that. I was like, wait, how did they miss that? That would have been a great, like, just throw... Hey, that's pretty much what this movie is. It's pretty much Miracle. It's like you're doing a Miracle on Ice, just not with Russia. I feel like what this movie is. So why not throw that in there?
It is exactly that. I yes. mean, I'm surprised it took them that long to make Miracle after that movie.
Well, they had to get the right casting, which I will get to that movie. That is on my list to do for the next Winter Olympics. Miracle. So, at least...
Oh, beautiful.
It's one of my favorite hockey movie ever. I love that movie so much.
Oh, I'll talk about Kurt Russell all day, all night. By the way, FYI, I was named after Kurt Russell.
Really? I didn't know that. That's where I got my dad.
Wow. Specifically, Escape from New York. That was the movie that my dad had in mind. So Snake Plissken is my birthright. How about that?
Very nice. Very nice. So, Tibble shows him this contract. I'd love to know what the hell the number on this contract is. We never find out. But I'd love to know, in 1993, 94, how much is on this contract?
Four digits. It's got to be four digits. early 90s money. A little bit of fluctuation in
That's
there.
That's fantastic. I didn't expect that. That was good. I didn't expect that. All right, so that's very funny. So then we cut to one of the many headlines. Bombay picked to coach Team USA. Why is this a headline in the hockey, America's number one hockey publication? Like, why?
That's right. Yeah, because in this universe, NHL doesn't really exist anymore, and people are looking for something else to look forward to. Children's skating in hockey, they got the ear to the ground. I mean, I also subscribe to Pee Wee Football Monthly. That's where I find out some up and coming news in the world of Pee Wee Football. So, to each their own.
Oh my god, that's fantastic. That's great. I do love the fact it's Gordon Bombay, and it quotes, "It's great to be home." How long were you gone? Like, you weren't gone that long. You were maybe gone for one summer? Like, where were you?
That's why this movie should have started off like Rambo 3. He's like in Thailand working out, and they got to go find him and bring him back. You're the hero of them.
I mean,
Bombay, we need you back.
We determined a couple in the first episode when we were talking about the AHL franchise, minor league franchise. He was in Minnesota. Like, the franchise was in Minnesota. So where was he? It made no sense.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. So, and then we cut to the bottom of the paper, which reminds me of when I was in high school and my senior year when they put us all in the paper because the local paper did a big thing about high school football. And we had these awful mugshots. In the paper. That's what this reminds me of. So bad.
I guess, they're hoping they can reuse the picture for some other, police blotter or something like that. Maybe it was Bombay's picture from a previous movie with that whole peeing on the side of the road thing there.
Well, my favorite picture is Averman. He doesn't even look like he knows he's taking a picture like everyone else. At least he's somewhat smiling. But he's not even giving a serious look. He's just like, oh, the picture's he's taking. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I'm like, what are you doing? And I can make fun of him. He's now a friend of the show, so I can make fun of him a little bit. But if you want to hear an interview, go back to my winter hiatus episodes where I interviewed him in a nice long-form interview a couple months back. So go listen to that. So we cut and we meet the new team. And I do love the introductions of these five because we have to learn who they are. We really do. And you have to do it in like a 2 second span. So within the next like 30 seconds, we learn about all five of them, which I personally love doing this format. So we start with Louis Mendoza. and he is an extremely fast skater. Before I even get to his credentials, because I do have credentials for him, I love the fact that he can skate, but he doesn't know how to stop. Like, who thought of that idea?
How does that automatically make you a hockey player? How's that? Like, well, I can kind of skate. I know I should go into hockey immediately. Like, I don't know how that direct correlation works for hockey. Like, who would even give him a shot to be a hockey player? Well, I don't know how to. I was like, that'll be like a.
I don't know.
But on top of that, though, the part that gives me the most, like, they announce his name, and then they say Mendoza. And then immediately, you get the friggin' Salsa Dancing music playing in the background while he's skating around the ice.
Isn't that wild?
Like, oh, come on, Disney.
Wasn't that wild when music, they did Wild Mendoza and NXT and did the same kind of joke when it first came out? Music.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what you're
reminding me of? Oh, God.
I'll give you one worse. Becky Lynch, Irish Jig. I'll throw it there. Somebody's looking it up right now.
You would think Disney was booking her. Yeah, you would think Disney would be booking her at that point in time. I mean, so like the salsa music comes on, like,
so
okay.
Bad. So jeez. Bad. Well, it's all stereotypical. On, it gets worse in a minute. But we have that. But first we had Connie talking about how he looks good, and Guy's not impressed. And then we have Averman saying, yeah, he looks good. What's going on over here? Did Averman get a man crush on
the seeds?
Averman got a man crush on Mendoza.
Yeah, like this whole 5 minutes, this is probably the most potent 5 minutes in the whole movie, because they are just starting up like 7 different storylines within those 5 minutes.
So funny. So Louis Mendoza, he is played by Mike Vitter, and this is one of his only movie credits. This in D3 are one of his only movie credits. He's also in The Sandlot as Benjamin Franklin Rodriguez.
Go.
So 3 big movies. Ooh. In the 90s.
Oh, jeez. I wonder if I could weave a way around it to make it so that he was actually like the same character in both movies at one point.
There's
in
enough
time
difference. We can make it work, probably. Probably is enough time.
Yeah, or maybe maybe he was like, what are the plans in The Sandlot? He wasn't Jet Rodriguez there, wasn't
it? It says Benjamin Franklin Rodriguez, as it is said on IMDb. So maybe.
Holy goodness. That is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there must have been. Wow.
There you
okay.
go.
Hey, he didn't know how to stop in The Sandlot either, all right? That kid
perfect.
Stole bases. He kept stealing them bases. Yeah, perfect trait for baseball, just not for hockey.
No, not for hockey, because you could crash into the board and hurt yourself, like he does here. So...
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I love Gordon's face. Like,
yeah, and of course, ooh. Bombay's looking at him like, yeah, all right. I like, he's not my...
Well, I like him. I can teach him. Like, I know what Bombay's probably thinking. Another misfit for me to teach.
Like, look, I don't hold classes on how to teach people how to skate, all right? I coach hockey teams. I don't do this. I don't teach basics.
Well... If you don't want to teach basics, let's jump to Dwayne Robertson. A fan favorite. I love Dwayne so much. But you're talking stereotypes. He's got the cowboy hat. He's got the country music. Doesn't turn off.
Oh, he's from Austin. And his first, what was his first line in the movie? It was,
yeehaw!
Yeehaw! And he wore a, didn't he wear a cowboy hat too?
Right off the bat.
Like,
off the bat.
Oh, all he was missing, well, I was going to say he was missing the lasso, but that's coming
later.
Right around.
That's later. Oops, later. But he is an impeccable stick handler. Like, 2 credit words, too. This is a skill that's actually valid for this movie. Like, he is amazing at stick handling.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's just he's from the South, that's all.
Exactly.
Apparently that's the problem that the kid has, that he's from the South. Yeah. He's got spurs on his ice skates, but, you know, the kick and slap the puck around pretty good.
By the way, he does do all his tricks, and even Charlie is impressed. Charlie and Banks are both impressed, so that's good. Then we jump to Julie the Cat Gaffney. And, again, not many credits here. Oh, I forgot. Hang on a second. With Ty O'Neill, Drew in The Postman. And he's the living portrait in Wild Wild West. And that's like the top credits he has besides these movies.
Wow.
So goodness. There you go.
I guess that's yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah. So entertaining as hell these movies. I don't see much of him after this. Maybe the stereotypes. He didn't want to do more stereotypes. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe Disney ruined him.
Yeah, I start getting typecasted at all the rib eating contests. You know, I start getting sick and tired of it.
Like, he didn't even have one. Like, he's gone. Like, I think he does, like, maybe some, like, directing, assistant directing. Doesn't do anything else. It's amazing. He's just out of the industry now. But everyone knows him from this. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, because he kept showing up to his interviews wearing that damn cowboy hat. He's like, remember me, D2? Remember? Yeehaw! Like, all right. But you're interviewing for a key group position.
As this movie goes on, there'll be so much more, like, Dwayne ridiculousness as this movie continues. So, back to Julie the Cat Gaffney. She's next, and she's a goaltender, which is cool. And then we cut to... I'm watching the movie as we're going here. We cut to Goldberg in net, and he's stretching, and then he hurts himself. Like, of course he does.
Oh, jeez. Oh. Like, Bombay at this point in time should be looking back and be like, well, you're cut.
What happened? Like, I know we make that joke later, but, like, what happened to this team?
Right, yeah. Like, they all just all of a sudden forgot how to do stuff. Like, you had a whole movie where you learned how to do stuff, and then you forgot it all.
Oh, man. Not much time passed between things here. So, anyway, you see Julie in net, and she's fantastic. Like, I will say, this is fantastic goaltending. Like, straight up. Her glove hand's amazing. And we'll get to that more of that later. She's played by Combi Jacobson. She was Becky in Rookie of the Year, and Haley in Men in Black 2. I don't remember that character, but maybe I gotta rewatch that movie again. Since then she's been married.
Some of you guys are transitioning sports. You know? Why are they automatically going from hockey to baseball? How's that such an automatic transition? I don't get it.
It's funny, you know? It's baseball to hockey, because these movies came out before this. Like, Rookie of the Year and Sandlot came out before this. So, who did those movies first?
Must be a trend in movies in general.
Well, remember, this is like, the era.
Oh, we're done with the baseball thing.
Well, remember, at the time, for some reason, we were in the era of all those, like, kids' sports movies. Where we had the Sandlot and Rookie of the Year and this and Little Giants and, like, Ladybugs and all those movies were at this time.
Oh, Ladybugs. Oh, are you going to do one about Ladybugs?
I don't know why I'm going to, but someone may. So throw that out there in the ethers. Maybe someone listening will do that eventually.
Eventually, these feel-good movies start to take a dark turn where they start throwing animals in it. Like, oh, this is a donkey that kicks field goals.
Oh, okay. Air Bud. Air Bud. There you go.
Air Bud. There
Air
you go.
Bud. Jeez, terrible movie. Dude, they made 4 sequels from that movie. Anyway, I'm not going to get to that. She disappears, though, after this. Apparently, she got married and didn't do anything else after that. So, I don't know what she's doing nowadays. Oh. Ironically, though, that's more credits than our next person, which is Kenny Wu. And apparently, he was a figure skater. They gave him a hockey stick, and he can't be touched. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Of course, you know, that's the natural transition. I remember around that point in time when Nancy Kerrigan transitioned over and became a Dallas Star. You know, she did pretty good. She did pretty good for herself.
Well, the best part is, that's too short.
Tanya Harding, she went to... One of the Sabres?
That's the shortest introduction, by the way, of any of the players. That's it. We get that. He spins, and we move on. There's nothing else.
No, he's like a triple axel on the ice. And they're like, well, he could definitely handle himself. He can spin around a lot. You know, yeah, that's hockey if I ever saw it.
We'll get to him later. We'll talk about him later. But Justin Wong, this and D3 are his only movie credits. That's it. Nothing else.
Jeez. I guess nobody else needed a guy who could just run on ice a lot.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, this and D3 are it for him. So we won't be seeing him after D3, which is weird. I actually like him in this movie. I think he's funny in this movie. He has his moments, especially later on in the movie.
And I'm just glad they didn't play any embarrassing ethnic music when they introduced him doing, you know, the triple excellent.
You know what, though? I was thinking that when you said it earlier. I'm like, oh, I have it on mute here, so I didn't even remember they did that. I'm going to have it on mute.
No, I don't think. That's funny. No, I took a big, deep breath. And, whew, okay, they did not go that far. Okay, thank you, Disney.
That's funny. So then we come to Dean Portman, the enforcer of this team. And he will come in big later. Like, he will come in huge storyline later. But I love the fact that he's older than everybody. And the explanation is he got left back a lot. I was like, what? Like, that makes no sense. Like, at all. But sure. Let's go with it.
it's not like a high school thing. I mean, like, no, we just brought this kid who's like 17 years old. We just have him, you know, hip check a couple 8-year-olds. It'll be fine, Bombay. We got this.
Sure. So he's hysterical. I love him, like, air guitaring and all this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so random. Just start pushing people down for no reason whatsoever. Like, there's no reason to do this at all. And Gordon,
it's like, the director took the actor off to the side. He went like, okay, you have 20 seconds. Now, hurry up and convey your character. And action. And he just starts beating people up.
Pretty much. My favorite part is that Gordon doesn't want him on the team, but because he's a goon. But the point is that he's here because of Iceland, which I don't really know what that means now. I love when he goes up to Dwayne and tells him to sing along with him, even though he can't hear the music playing. Makes such a stupid joke. So dumb.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, he's probably singing along to something that's not even close to metal. Like, oh, he's singing Night Ranger.
So anyway, Aaron Lore. Now, there's a name a lot of people listening to this will know. Is, unlike everybody else, he has a ridiculous career. Like, a ridiculous career.
Interesting.
And this, you're gonna. He was Mush in Newsies.
And my name is Mom,
and the spike is on,
and the kiss is
blood. To begin with, he is the singing voice of Max Goof in a Goofy movie.
All in all, I'd rather have detention. All in all, I'd rather read a toad. And the old man drives like such a klutz that I'm about to hurl my guts directly upon the open road.
He is Steve in Rent, and he leads Will-I in Life Support in Rent.
Will I lose my dignity? Will someone care? Will I wake tomorrow from this night?
He was also on Broadway. He was also on the touring tour on the tour of the Full Monty as one of the leads in the Full Monty on the touring show. And one more big one. He's married to, and this is a huge name. Even you know this one. He's married to Idina Menzel.
Into the unknown. Into the unknown.
Wow, what a life. What a life, man. I guess the hormones didn't stop in D2. It kept him going and going.
I know, he is currently married to Idina Menzel, which is crazy. Because she went from, who was it? He went from, the guy who plays Benny in Rent. I can't think of his name right now. He went from him to Aaron Lore, which is crazy. Like... And they met on Rent. They met there when they did Rent the movie. So.
Oh, no. Let
Tay Diggs. Tay Diggs. That's what it was. She went from Tay Diggs to Aaron Moore. So, yeah.
And, you know, he let it off with, like, you know, I was in D2.
Well, the funny part is, when he was in this, because I'm a huge Newsies fan, I knew him from Newsies. I knew him from there first.
Instantly recognized. That's funny.
Like, it's hysterical to me. Because he's a, like, he's a major character in Newsies. Like, he's one of the major characters. So it's like, and he can sing. He can sing. I put in a clip here of him in Rent.
Yeah,
he's an amazing singer. Like, oh man. So,
jeez. I guess he was expecting to get a hold of Disney and be like, "Hey, I can sing, guys.
Yeah.
Keep me on the phone call."
Yeah, but it's funny because he does. If you everyone sees the Goofy movie, everyone knows the movie. It's on Disney Plus. This movie isn't, but those movies are. Don't get me started on that. Anyway, Goofy movie. he sings it, but it's so funny because he's only the singing voice, but he gets like the songs everybody knows. So it's weird how that works out. Oh, man. So that's that. They start fighting. They start fighting. Which, by the way, I would want to be on Dean Portman's side of this fight because he's huge compared to everybody else. Like, he's even taller than Fulton at this point.
Yeah. At this point, you know, he could probably deck Emilio. You know, like, all you gotta coach the kid if you know he can turn around and just break your nose.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So, but Kanbei is the best coach, period, because he gets everybody to stop fighting, which is great. And this bit, I would love to know how much of this is improv and how much of this was like, it's in the script, because the two, him, Bombay, and Tibbles going back and forth with this bit of, "You're representing your country, that's right, now I want you to be all that you can, but what are you two doing?" What is this bit?
Definitely sounds like something thrown on. Like, I bet that guy, not Emilio, but the other guy, I bet he definitely did some improv stuff. You know, he's part of one of those touring improv groups. Like, oh, yeah, I was part of the Upright Citizen Brigade or something like that.
Yeah. The two of them, though, they're so funny because Bombay gets so annoyed. Like, he gets so annoyed at him during this. Like, "You're taking my thunder. What are you doing?" Like, come on.
He takes his whistle. Like, Kimmy.
That was amazing. He blew the whistle. He goes to skate off, and he's like, "Don, you'll get it back at the end of the school term." Which is such a great line.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Oh man!
And he unites the kids with laughter. That's good.
Hey, it works. It absolutely works because you have to have nice Bombay now before we get to like mean Bombay later. So.
Always got the two sides.
Of course. And then we start our first scrimmage, and we realize just how much better the other five are compared to our normal team. Like, it is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know how that didn't end with all the kids, like, getting fired. Like, Bombay's like, "Well, these kids are easy to work with. They're killing you all. And you guys didn't even practice, so what am I doing here? Kid from Texas, he can take three of you."
I just love that Mendoza crashes into Goldberg and then apologizes politely. Like, I do this. I happens to me all the time. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah, man. Yeah.
And
once again, he can't stop.
No, he can't.
That's the requirement to get him out of hockey.
But going back to what you were saying earlier, Averman has the best line at the end of all this. He goes and he says, "Hey, where are we? Here it is." He goes, I'm looking in the script in front of me, making sure I said it right, because he crashes into, Averman goes up to Bombay, and Bombay goes, says, "Have you guys been practicing in the off season?" Oh, where is the line? I can't find it now. Oh, here it is. I knew we were forgetting something. What? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing for?
He should have just said, "Oops."
Oops. But of course, Banks still proves that he's the best of them because he scores a goal against Julie, which no one else is doing, which is good. And we end with Goldberg being a wise ass because Averman and I don't remember who all, I think it was Gee, get crushed behind him and then into the net by Portman. And he's like, "Ding, round one." Come on. Over being a wise ass.
Like round one, you kids got decked, and round's over. Round's over. Don't get up.
On the outside, we have Tibble showing up with their tutor, which we do episode. But then we launch off to Fulton's shot, which will end the minutes with the our ducks running and Portman looking like, what's so scary? And that's it. That's where we end things.
Yes.
Them scattering is so funny to me.
That's a hell of a shot, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely the shot everyone remembers from this.
Yeah, if people think that their lives are in jeopardy from a slap shot, then you know that person is definitely worth signing.
Oh, man. So, that is our 5 minutes. That is us BSing for this entire half hour, and half of it having to do with the movie, because there was really just like, we're introducing the players, and we, that's pretty much all these 5 minutes turned out to be.
It's just the 5 minutes that got that type of Disney vibe to it, to where they give you the cliff notes, deep, deep cliff notes of people. You gotta learn who they are throughout the rest of the movie, but until then, well, here's the damnedest couple minute snapshot that we could possibly give you.
Yeah, we get an explanation of everybody except for Kenny Wu, because all he does is skate, and that's all we know. That's it. No character development. Absolutely nothing.
Yes, he spins really well. Bombay's like, he hasn't even moved forward yet. Yeah, but he spins really well.
Apparently, that doesn't matter. Like, because all you have to do is spin, apparently. That's what I got out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Man. All right. Well, that is our 5 minutes. Kurt, I guess I can throw it to you and say, can they find you anywhere besides, like, randomly popping up onto the podcast?
That's probably the most picture-perfect way. I like to be a podcasting hermit, crawl out of my cave, you know, a couple times a year. Me, Gonzo, and Greg, off of our old podcast, Gonzo and the Greg Pro Wrestling Podcast, under the VIP banner of the PW Torch, we just recorded an episode. Well, I don't know when this is going to air, so we'll say around the beginning of January. Recorded an episode. We haven't been together in years, it feels like.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I'm dating when recording this, too, but I listened to it. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed that show. It was so much fun to listen to.
Thank you. Yeah, it's scary. It really felt like no time has passed by. If anything, it just felt like it was better than usual. I don't know. There was some great magic in that episode. I learned that in this podcast. In an episode of Greg's podcast, I don't know when you're going to find me again. And
fair enough.
That's fine with me.
Fair enough.
Well, you can find me on the Nintendo Switch.
There you go, Nintendo Switch. I will say here, I'll do my plugs here. You can always find our show over the podcast platforms. Support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/TheBlakeAndSal Show. Help support the show. Hear this show commercial free. And also, you can find this show now on Reddit. At r/D5TheMoneyDucks, which I don't know why we do that, but we did it anyway because it's fun. More importantly, follow on Instagram and Facebook, where I post all the time about everything going on with the show, and D5TheMoneyDucks on all platforms. So, that all being said, Kurt, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun, as always.
Not a problem. Always glad to be on. Thank you very much.
No problem. We'll definitely have you back for D3 when we get there next year. So
I will be there. We'll complete the trifecta.
Of course. Because as I've been joking about other people, D3 is going to be a hard movie to get people to come on. Because that movie is not nearly as good as this one. So
food for thought. Food for thought before we go. Why didn't they name D3 the hat trick? I feel like it would have been a perfect subline for that. Yeah, food for thought.
You know what? Thank you for that. I may use that as a tagline for season 3 of the show. So there you go.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Yeah, I love perfect. It. I'm a great idea, guy.
Perfect. All right. That all being said, thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.